Good to see everyone. Glad you guys are all social distancing, as we say. That's cool. Good job. We're still missing quite a few folks. Some people have elected to stay home, and that's okay. That's perfectly fine. We've got some folks that are resting and been working all night, and so that's okay too. You know, there's a time to rest. And real excited about Children's Church starting next week. So, you know, amen. Everybody say amen. All right, let's go to Psalms 46. If you have your Bibles, I think Derry's going to have it up on the screen. And be patient with us. I know we're doing some things kind of different than we've normally been doing, but we're just trying our best to follow the whatever guidelines are left out there and be safe and that kind of thing. So hang with us, and we'll do the offering at the very end, and we'll have some deacons back there. So Psalms 46. I'm very excited about this message, so let's pray and we'll get going. Thank you, Lord, for everything you've given us. Lord, thank you for being our strong tower and our mighty fortress, and we can rest in your shadow of the Almighty God. Lord, we pray for our country. We pray for wisdom and direction with our leaders. Lord, we thank you for being in America and living in this great country where we're free to come and join each other in the house of the Lord and lift up your name and preach and teach your word. Lord, we do pray for our military around the world doing their thing. Keep them safe. Thank you for all brothers and sisters around the world, the missionaries that are spreading the gospel around the planet. Lord, we lift them up. We don't know them. We know some of them, but we don't. Really don't know them, and Lord, we just ask if you'll keep them safe as we pause just a minute to lift them up to you. And Lord, I pray for this message this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, baby noises. I love it, so don't worry about it, right? Don't worry about it. Look at all the kids. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 and a half, 10. Wow, that's 10, 11. 11 children, right? Think about that. Just in our little crowd right now. So I'm excited about that. Psalms 46. So let's read it together. It says, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear, though the earth gives way, though the mountains be moved into the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam, though the mountains tremble at its swelling, Selah. Verse 4, there is a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy habitation of the Most High. God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. God will help her when morning dawns. The nations rage, the kingdoms totter. He utters his voice, the earth melts. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress, Selah. Verse 8 says, come, behold the works of the Lord, how he has brought desolations on the earth. He makes wars cease to the end of the earth. He breaks the bow and shatters the spear. He burns the chariots with fire. Verse 10, he says, be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress, Selah. Everybody say amen? Amen. Many Bible scholars believe that Isaiah 36 and Isaiah 37 gives the historical context for this psalm. Okay? During Isaiah's reign, Jerusalem was in a desperate situation. I mean, they had gotten themselves in a real pickle. We could easily say the lights of Jerusalem were ready to go out. That's the kind of situation that they found themselves in. But Hezekiah prayed to the Lord. In return, God sent his prophet Isaiah to assure the king that God had heard his prayer. And Isaiah prophesied the doom of Sennacherib and his brutal army. And this army, if you studied this scripture, this army was very brutal. And I'll spare anything because the kids are here. But some of you know what I mean. You've studied the Assyrian army. They were terrible. And what had happened is they were moving, this king Sennacherib was moving down and destroying cities and just causing bad things to happen. They would move down from northern Israel all the way down until they got to Jerusalem. And when they got to Jerusalem, there was 185,000 of these soldiers that were really bad people. And they got right to the walls of Jerusalem, and they sent their messenger out to meet Hezekiah's messenger. And they read this scroll to them, telling them, in the morning, this is what's going to happen to you. We're going to annihilate you and your people. And they went into details about it according to the historical records. And so Hezekiah's spokesperson came back with the scroll, gave it to Hezekiah, and he went off by himself and prayed and asked the Lord for help. And if you read the Bible, it tells us that God sent, in the early mornings, God sent one angel and basically annihilated 185,000 of these people. Just one angel basically destroyed them. And in this psalm, we see the children of Israel praising the Lord because he took care of them. He had provided for them. He had protected them. Also, if you look at the scripture, it includes the word Selah three times. And this term is used after you sing a song or a message. There's a pause. Basically, a pause for the people to reflect on what was just said. Selah. That means, let's pause for a minute and really think about what was said. Basically, you could translate this into there. What do you think of that? Now, this psalm helps us know what to do when the lights are about to go out in our lives. So based on Psalms 46, here are three things, if you're taking notes, here are three things that we can do when we feel that dark times may be approaching our life or our country. So if you're taking notes, here's the three things. Go to your shelter. Go to your shelter. Go to your river. And go to your master. So those are the three things, if you're taking notes, that this scripture gives us. Go to your shelter. Go to your river. And go to your master. Everybody got that? So let's talk about the first one. The first point is to go to your shelter. This covers verses 1 and 3. Okay, the psalm opens up with familiar words from God. Talks about God being our refuge, our shelter, our fortress. This really means our protector. He's the one that protects us. Often we try to handle things in life. We all do. I do. We all do. Sometimes we try to handle things in life on our own. And when we do that, what we're really doing is forgetting that God is really there to help us. He wants to help us. We all do it. Great theologians do it. Preachers, teachers, truck drivers, Indian chiefs. We all do it, right? We forget when things start piling up on us. But this scripture is reminding us that we don't need to forget that God is our protector. He's there for us. Here's a little story. At one point, Martin Luther was going through a period of great difficulty and became depressed. Hear this great theologian. He became depressed. One morning, after watching her husband sink deep into misery, Luther's wife dressed in a mourning garment. When he asked her, "Who died?" she said, "God." He immediately rose up and replied, "That's ridiculous. God didn't die. He can't die. God is eternal and immortal." She then said to him, "Then why are you acting like God is dead?" That woke him up. Sometimes we handle things in life kind of like Luther. We forget. Now, Martin Luther wrote a famous hymn called "A Mighty Fortress Is Our God." Some of you might be familiar with that. In it, he declares that God is a bulwark never failing. I'm kind of country, and I had to look up that word bulwark and what it meant, you know. But it means like a rampart, a wall, a big protective wall that you build up. And so what he was saying is God is this bulwark. He's this protective wall, this rampart. Actually, this hymn became the number one hymn during the Protestant Reformation. So I think that's awesome. Now, in verse 1, let's look. In verse 1, it says a very present help. And this means that God is aware and ready. God has given us His word that He would protect us. No matter how awful our circumstances can get, He wants to be there. He is there to protect us and to strengthen us and to help us. In verses 2 and 3, the writers of the psalm next declare, if you look closely, for though situations. Even though. Okay? Even though. Let's read it again. Verse 2, it says, "Therefore we will not fear." Everybody say, "I will not fear." One more time. "I will not fear." It says, "Therefore we will not fear, even though the earth gives way, even though the mountains be moved into the heart of the sea, even though its waters roar and form, even though the mountains tremble in its swelling." What they were saying here is that no matter what happens, no matter what happens, we will not fear. We will not let fear grip us. Fear paralyzes us. It causes all kinds of problems, the anxiety and everything else. We will not fear. God is there. He is our protector. Verse 3 concludes with the first of the Selah. In other words, he said all this. They didn't care what happened. We're not going to fear. We're going to trust God. And then he pauses and says, "Now, what do you think about that? What do you think about that?" Amen? See, when the lights go out, maybe in our life, and we start seeing maybe the negative, but what's going on? Jesus is there. He wants to be our protector. He wants to help us. Point two, we need to go to your river. Go to your river. Verse 4 talks about a river. Now, ancient cities depended on a good water source, just like we do today. If the enemy could cut off the water supply, they could paralyze the city. Now, the city of Jerusalem did not have a river flowing through it. So, Hezekiah, I'm sure, got wisdom from the Lord, and he diverted a nearby spring through an underground rock canal. It was about 1,700 feet. It was so long that the waters flowed into the city underground. Very sneaky, very smart, a lot of wisdom so that they could have that water coming in. The Bible also talks about Hezekiah and how he refurbished the walls and spent a lot of money, and certain folks in the community would give up their own sections of their walls to build the walls up because he knew that this crazy man was on his way. If you look closely at this, what it's really telling us is Jerusalem had hidden resources inside its walls. Listen to this. Don't let this go over you. It had hidden resources inside of its walls. God is saying to us that when the light threatened to go out in our lives, we have a river inside of our walls. It is a hidden resource flowing on the inside of every believer. God Himself is the fountain of living waters. John chapter 7, verse 38, Jesus said, "Whoever believes in me, as the scriptures have said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water." You see, many people, even believers, depend on outside resources for their strength and the nourishment and the joy. Sometimes we spend too much time, too much effort, depending on money and prestige and pleasures to satisfy us. But see, when that resource dries up, people lose their joy. People lose their peace. Anxiety and worry starts creeping in. And this is not God's will for our life. See, when we allow God to be that resource, that nourishment, nothing else matters. You see, Christians can go through many of the same difficulties as non-believers. Amen? But the difference is we have the Holy Spirit living inside of us. And that Holy Spirit is the living waters. It's living. That's what gives us the joy, the strength, the nourishment that unbelievers do not have. Now in verse 5, it says that God was in the midst of Jerusalem. He was there with them. This phrase is echoed throughout the whole Bible. God said it. I say it 1,000 times. He said He'd not leave us and not forsake us. You see, we never, ever walk through a difficulty without God. Every time we go through a difficulty, He is with us, whether we feel it or not. Remember we talked about that last week? Verse 5 also says that, listen, that God is always there at the break of dawn. Whether we realize it or not, He's there right at the break of dawn. And that's what they needed when this crazy army had them surrounded. That's what we all need when we feel like we're being surrounded. God is there. He's right here. He knows the perfect time to reveal Himself. And He will. It doesn't matter. It does not matter one bit how much our enemies rage against us. God is with us and He is our refuge. In your home, in our city, our county, our state, and our country, and around the world. He is with us. Now, sometimes we may be going through a trial, and it may seem kind of dark, but I promise you, dawn is coming. Joy comes in the morning. And until then, we have God's presence. We need to turn to Him in prayer. We need to trust Him, rely on the Holy Spirit to provide that refreshment, that satisfaction, that strength, and that joy that we need sometimes to make it 1 hour at a time, sometimes 1 day at a time, right? Sometimes 1 week at a time. Now, the psalmist again right here said, Selah. In other words, there. What do you think about that? Amen? Point 3, last one. Go to your master. Go to your master. This covers verses 8 through 11. When Jerusalem was under siege by the Assyrians, Hezekiah turned to the Lord in prayer. Period. When God had His angel destroy the Assyrian army, they all knew who had intervened on their behalf. They knew. My friends, until the final battle of history in Revelation 19, we need to realize that Satan's armies are lined up against us. Don't be naive. As long as we rely on the Lord, as long as we rely on the Lord, our Master, for strength and courage and shelter, we have nothing to fear. In fact, God tells us right here in verse 10 to stop worrying. Stop worrying. Stop worrying. And realize who He is. Very clearly He says here, be still and know that I am God. If He be for us, who could be against us, right? Greater is He that is in me than he that is in the world. That we still can do all things through Christ who gives us strength, and He is our protector. We can rest under the shadow of the Almighty. God also tells us with certainty, that one day soon the whole world will recognize Him. One day every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Amen. The psalmist concluded with a reminder that God is our refuge. And he says it one more time. The encouragement, Selah. There. What do you think about that? Amen? Let's pray. Father, we thank you, Lord, for your word. We love you. We praise you. Lord, in this song of invitation, Father, if there's anyone who'd like to give their life to Christ, the Bible says today is the day of salvation. Lord, we love you. We thank you for your word, that it is liberating. We find freedom. Thank you for the old rugged cross. Thank you for dying for our sins, for my sins, taking my place. Father, thank you for raising Jesus from the grave. Gives us a blessed hope, eternal life, that we spend ever and ever and forever with you. We thank you, Lord, we can place our faith and the death, burial, resurrection of Christ to secure our salvation. Become children of God. In Jesus' name, amen.